Good morning. I'm going to talk about partial solar radiation exclusion in wine grapes. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, especially Johan Martinez and Chris Chen, that did a majority of this work. So I work with wine grapes in the north coast of California. As you know, grapevine needs a suite of canopy management practices such as dormant pruning, and these need to be supplemented by green pruning, such as shoot removal and leaf removal for consistent cropping. In our previous work, when we did leaf removing, compared it to no leaf removing at the pre-bloom stage, we have seen benefits for flavonoids and sun exposure that might have a beneficial effect on the intermediate end product, which is the grape berry at the farm gate. Also, light, including ultraviolet light radiation, can promote flavonoid biosynthesis. However, despite what the executive branch of the government says, heating in the last few years leads to these overexposed clusters. These lead to overheating, and then therefore we end up with anthocyanin loss and eventually fruit abortion in California. So sun exposure versus sun gain. This is from our earlier work in our literature. Some fruit on the exposed side, some fruit on the unexposed side has tremendous changes in the heat gain on the berry. Since red grapes are black bodies, they tend to heat up very quickly and stay there for longer periods of time because the berry is full of water. And when we compared the anthocyanin content in a fresh weight basis, the high temperatures are degrading the anthocyanins in the berry skin. So I work with secondary plant metabolism, more specifically the berry skin. So when we look at the constitution of flavonoid profiles, we divide them into dihydroxylated, monohydroxylated, or trihydroxylated. For ease in discussion, I highlighted the flavonols in green, anthocyanins in purple, and proanthocyanidins in this tan color. The proanthocyanin polymers are essentially condensed tannins that give you either a tactile or a taste sensation in the mouth cavity. Anthocyanins and flavonols, they will co-pigment in the wine matrix to make a stable product. When we look at the berry development, we usually say we have about 120 days to bring in a crop, and the critical stages in the last stage, where growers tend to hang the berries a lot longer these days because that's what the market is demanding. But more often than not, we end up with a loss of water, acidity, color, astringency, aroma, and flavor changes, and lower skin intensity and seed browning. As the seeds get more brown, we tend to move this green aroma triangle to this lower portion of the spectrum. They tend to be more riper in the taste sensation. What we end up doing is, as we hang the grapes longer, we dehydrate them because it's not possible to accumulate more than 25% total soluble solids. They tend to adjust the bricks or total soluble solids in the cellar by adding water to the must. So we end up with further lower colorants, lower flavors, and lower aromas. So a lot of the wine you get in the marketplace is going to be heavily blended. So this is the situation that we see in California. These are three locations, Central Valley, Napa, and Sonoma. Central Valley is where we get about 70% of our crush volume. When we look at the anthocyanin loss, we lose about 63% of the anthocyanins in the berry. In Napa, we lose about 17%. In Sonoma, we lose about 24% of the anthocyanins as we hang the berries a lot longer on the canopy. So we set up this experiment with shade nets. We had a control, 20% shading factor white, black, blue, and aluminate. These were done at our experiment station in Oakville, on the west side of Oakville, and the road direction was northeast to a southwest orientation, about 27 degrees from true north. And we looked at spectral irradiation, bunch temperature, primary and secondary metabolism using the tools at our disposal. The flavonoid analysis is complex. The low molecular weight flavonoids, they were just looked at with a separation by HPLC. Proanthocyanins are complex to analyze. They were analyzed in the presence of excess fluoroglucinol to be broken up into terminal and extension subunits. So here's a look at the solar radiation under these different shade nets. Green is control. The x-axis is wavelength in nanometers. And then this yellow is open field. You can see that the shade nets change the amount of light that's available to the clusters. Illuminate seems to be decreasing this quite a bit. When we look at the percent transmittance through the nets at the cluster or at the barrier level, blue seems to be changing the light or irradiation in the blue spectrum and also in the infrared range here at this end. When we look at pearl, which is the white-colored shade net, it doesn't seem to be blocking anything. And black seems to be removing about 40%. And aluminate is quite interesting because it's a shiny material. It's also reflecting a light back into the canopy. Here's a look at bunch temperature on the morning side and on the afternoon side. So we measured these in 2-hour spurts, starting at 6 in the morning till about 8 in the evening or at night. The northeast side, the morning side, doesn't seem to heat up as rapidly or as much as the afternoon side. When we look at the afternoon side, we see this almost a linear increase, and I have the insets here. At our warmest period in the growing season, these were taken in September, right before harvest. Control berries are at 48 degrees Celsius, and they stay there for quite a long time. And then they do not cool down till about 6 in the afternoon. Whereas black shade net, these are only warming up to about 44 degrees. So we have about a 33% reduction in temperature gain. I forgot to mention that these berries were, these nets were put on the canopies at a peppercorn size, about 31 days post anthesis. Of course, we looked at the leaf gas exchange and stem water potential at the same times at about 8 different times in the season. However, we did not see any differences between these treatments. So I'm just presenting you the season means. There's no difference in net carbon assimilation, stomatal conductance, or intrinsic water use efficiency under these nets. And stem water potential, these vines were quite happy throughout the growing season at a mild deficit. Canopy architecture and yield components, we did not have any differences in leaf layer numbers or clusters per plant. Yield, pruning weight, or the Ravaz index, the yield to pruning weight ratio. However, when we started looking at the primary metabolism in the berry, we started seeing differences in berry mass. As I mentioned earlier, the aluminate, indicated by the gray dots here, this net was also reflecting back into the canopy, although it was filtering out quite a bit of light. It seemed to inhibit berry growth. When we look at total soluble salts concentration in the berry, there's nothing to write home about. Everything reached 25 bricks, no problem. We had some differences in juice pH. Okay, and then we had some differences in titratable acidity throughout the season. But these differences are so minor that it's not of a horticultural significance. Here's a look at the solar exclusion and flavonoid content. We start seeing a separation at the 31st of July, and then you see that they're growing like this, and then the control just dropped off. We had about a 27% decline in total anthocyanin content in the anthocyanins, and the black, they developed a lot later and stayed there. When we look at the flavonols, which are homologs of anthocyanins, for lack of a better term, by the time harvest happened, there was no difference in them. So we said anthocyanins were not upregulated, but they were degraded in the end if they were not covered. Flavonols were upregulated and degraded. And this is what the control grapes look like. You have a lot of tissue death and pinking of these berries. Here's the ratio of di to trihydroxylated anthocyanins and flavonols. Blue shade net and black shade nets had a higher amount of trihydroxylated anthocyanins. Likewise, we have seen the same response in the flavonols. So these are going to be more stable compounds when these grapes are crushed for processing. When we look at the effect of shade nets on grape proanthocyanin condensed tannin contents, this is just a degradation. Majority of the proanthocyanins, they degrade throughout the season. When we look at it in the end, we have some minor differences in the proanthocyanin content. However, the mean degree of polymerization of these proanthocyanins was not affected. So when we look at the constitution of the flavonol and anthocyanin profiles, it would be important to note that we do not have any monosubstituted flavonols in grape species or anthocyanins in this case. And we make a big deal about this because in our previous work, when we did the work in the greenhouse, when we increased the ultraviolet light B, we upregulated this portion of the pathway with F3H, and we were increasing the dihydroxylated anthocyanins and flavonols. When we added the water deficit with ultraviolet light B irradiation to the berries, we upregulated the trihydroxylated anthocyanins in this case. But in the nature, these are occurring concurrently because California is in a perpetual drought. We would like to, move over to this part of the pathway so that we have a more consistent product at the farm gate. So, to conclude, only 40% shading factor with the black net was effective in the grapevine. Berry acidity was higher in the shaded clusters. Solar radiation will reduce anthocyanin content. Although flavonols were elicited by solar radiation, they may also be sensitive to degradation under heat gain. Solar radiation promoted a less stable fraction of flavonoids, where we moved to the dihydroxylated portion of the pathway. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank all the speakers for a productive session. Thank you for coming.